Sandy asked Madeline, "Madeline, where are we going? Why are you hanging on to me so?" Madeline would not answer, but kept pulling Sandy deeper and deeper into the tunnel. Madeline's friends were all around Sandy and did not seem kind or gentle at all. They pushed her, grabbed her, forced her along. The people around the conference table cringed. Kasif rose from his chair, his breath hissing through his teeth, his eyes bulging, his back arched, his fists clenched. "You cannot defeat me, praying man," the strong man bellowed. "You have no power. I have defeated you." Marshall opened the door. Susan Jacobson stepped into the room, followed by an angry Kevin Weed and four more towering guards with them. The room was getting crowded. "Hello, Alex," said Susan. Kasif's eyes were full of shock and fear.
Who are you? I don't know you. I've never seen you before."
An attorney advised, "Don't say anything, Alex." Hank stepped forward. It was time for battle. "Strong man, I bind you in the name of Jesus." Madeline would not let go. Her hands felt like icy steel as she pulled Sandy along. The tunnel was getting dark and cold.
"Madeline, what are you doing? Please let go of me."
Madeline would not look back at Sandy. All Sandy could see was that long, flowing blonde hair.
"Madeline, please stop."
Suddenly, the other spirit guides pressed in all around her, clamping onto her with steely hands.
"Please, don't you hear me? Make them stop."
Madeline turned her head. Her hide was soot black and leathery, her eyes huge yellow orbs, her jaws the jaws of a lion, and saliva dribbled off her fangs. A low guttural growl rumbled out of her throat. Sandy screamed. From somewhere in this blackness, this tunnel, this pit of death and deception, she screamed from the depths of her tortured and dying soul. Tal leaped from the earth, exploding in a burst of wings and light. The ground dropped away, and the town became a map below him as he shot over Ashton like a comet, piercing the darkness like a fiery arrow, illuminating the whole valley like a prolonged lightning bolt. He climbed, he circled, his wings a blurred flurry of jewels. The trumpet went to his lips, and the call went forth like a shock wave to shake the heavens. The strong man fell silent. His big eyes rolled back and forth. What was that? The demons all around him were shaken and looking at him for answers, but he had none. The eight heavenly warriors drew their swords. That was answer enough. Rafar screamed through Langstrat.
"I am speaking here. Let nothing else draw your attention.
The demons in the room tried to pay attention again, as did the psychics they controlled. For a fraction of a moment, Madeline's grip weakened, but only for a moment. They all knew they had heard something. The demon hordes in the cloud were still descending upon the town when they were dazzled by the sudden appearance of one lone angel tracing brilliant streaks of light across the sky below them. And what was this horribly loud trumpet all about? Were not the heavenly forces already defeated? But then, suddenly, unexpectedly, tiny bursts of light appeared all over the town far below, flashes that did not dissipate, but only grew brighter. The town was disappearing under myriads of blinding lights. Eerie demonic screams began at the center of the cloud and rippled outward. Thunderous shouts began the moment Tal touched down on his hill and raised his blazing sword.
"For the saints of God and for the Lamb!"
Tal's warriors echoed the cry as the entire landscape erupted in brilliant stars that shot into the sky. The host of heaven. Sandy was tumbling, struggling. The thing called Madeline had both her arms. The other spirits held her legs, her neck, her torso. They were biting her. From somewhere, the mocking voice of the ascended master, Rafar, said,
"Take her. Destroy her."
Sandy tried to get out of the trance, out of the nightmare, but she couldn't remember how. Then she heard the metallic clinking of chains. The strong man screamed,
"You cannot defeat me!"
A
and his demons hoped, or rather wished, it were true. "Be quiet, and come out of him," Hank ordered. His words threw the demons against the walls and hit the strong man like a left hook. Kasif hissed and spat curses and obscenities at the young minister. The regents around the table were all speechless. Some ducked under the table. The lawyers were trying to calm Kasif down. "It's all over," said Susan. "I've given them all the right documents. The feds are coming to hang you, and I'm going to tell them everything." The descending cloud of demons and the rising fireball of angels collided in the skies over Ashton, and thunder ripped the sky in response to the terrific clash of the spiritual forces. Swords flashed, a hail of screams and shouts echoed as the hosts of heaven mowed through the ranks of demons like blurring scythes. Demons began to fall out of the sky like meteors, spinning, smoking, dissolving. Tal, Gilo, and the general streaked toward the cottage, swords ready, the town a blur beneath them. "Find Sandy," Tal ordered. "There's no time to spare." "I'll take the strong man," said the general. "And I," said Tal, "will find Rafar." The demons fell upon them like an avalanche, but for Gilo, this was good sport. Tal and the general could hear his uproarious laughter and the thudding sound of his blade as he began weeding the sky of foul spirits. Tal was busy himself. The most horrible warriors were singling him out, and they didn't fall easily. He skidded through the air sideways, slammed one spirit with his sword, went into a blurred spin, and split the next warrior with the force of a saw blade. They vanished in a cloud of red smoke. He slipped through the clutches of several more, then dove and zigzagged toward the college, cutting demons as he went. Brummel was about to have a heart attack. It was so horrible. The others in the room were actually relishing what was happening to Sandy as she trembled and shook in her chair, moaning, screaming, struggling against some unseen assailant.
"Let me go! Let me go!"
The hulking, bug-eyed creature sitting in Langstrat's chair was bellowing in a voice that made Brummel's insides quiver.
"You are lost, Sandy Hogan. We have you now.
Please, God, please get me out of here, please."
"Your mother has fled, and your father is dead. You belong to us."
"Enough." Brummel jumped out of his chair and ran to her.
Sandy, don't listen to them. It's all a lie. Do you hear me?"
Sandy could not hear him, but Rafar could. Langstrat jumped up from her chair and screamed at Brummel.
"Be silent, you little imp, and step aside. She belongs to me."
Brummel ignored her. "Sandy, this monster is lying. Your father is all right."
"Hogan is defeated. He is imprisoned."
Brummel looked right into Langstrat's and Rafar's crazed eyes.
"Hogan and Bush are free. I released them myself. They're free and coming to destroy you."
Rafar was stymied for a moment. What had happened to this weak little puppet, Brummel? Then he heard a snicker coming from behind Brummel and saw a familiar face laughing him to scorn.
"Lucius."
Tal and Gilo swooped down into the administration building, but Tal stopped short.
"Wait now, what is this?"
Lucius drew his sword.
"You are not so mighty, Rafar. Your plan has failed, and I am the only true prince of Ashton."
Rafar's sword rang from its sheath and cut through the air with a rush of wind. Lucius stopped the big blade with his own, the force of the blow almost knocking him over. The demons in the room were startled and confused. They let go of their hosts. What was this? Kasif was infuriated and even threw some punches at his lawyers.
"You will not tell me what to do. This is my world. I am in charge here. I say what is and what is not."
Susan spoke loud and clear. "You, Alexander Kasif, are responsible for the murder of Patricia Kruger and the attempted murder of myself and Mr. Weed here. I have the lists I helped you write up, lists of people who ended up dead by your order."
"Murder?" exclaimed one regent. "Mr. Kasif, is this true?"
"Don't answer that," said a lawyer.
"No!"
Kasif screamed. Several other regents looked at each other. They knew Kasif pretty well by now. They didn't believe him.